Okay, we are up to Klal Mem Oizayin. And this Oizayin is one of the famous Ramahs in Yerodea. The Ramah brings three chumras that are not Meikar Adin. Three things that we're machmer on, even though in Shuras Adin one could think that one could argue that they're permitted. Let's see the three cases, and then I'll mention to you why there's Rabbi Kivegar on this, which makes it a very famous case. So let's first learn the simple three cases that are chumris and basa b'cholov, and that one could argue should be mutter mikaredim. Toiv li zoyer. These are things that it's good to be careful about, which means in America the mekel and it's all the machmer, pretty much, right? Toiv li zoyer. Chutz la'aretz means mutter. And Israel means awesome. Probably God meant it somewhere in between. Toiv li zohar malachtos eish tachas kederes shel nachri. It's good to be careful not to stoke the fire, which is burning under the pot where a guy is cooking. Now, it doesn't come up much for you and I to be in a place where we'd be raising the flame on a guy's cooking. It could happen theoretically if you have a geisha worker who put something on. But once upon a time, there was a community oven. And everybody in the community would bring each person would bring his own pot, and put it into the oven. So a Jew could put his pot into the oven, and he sees that the fire in the oven is becoming weaker, and he'd want to stoke the flame. So it's good to be careful not to do that. Why? Lefisha mevashim behem pa'amim basar upa'amim chalav. Because in the guy's pot, he may be cooking sometimes meat, sometimes milk. Nimsa shenivla min basar b'chalav. It comes out that at the time that he's cooking now, there's basar b'chalav there. And when the Jew is stoking the flames, he's cooking, he may be cooking basar b'chalav.
Why do you say it like that? Why do you say maybe the guy's cooking meat and milk?
Well, it could be he's cooking meat and milk, but that may be... Yeah, okay, so that might be a very small percentage of the time. There's a much bigger percentage that he uses the same pot for meat and milk. Okay, but there's still more. It's more often that this would happen than that would happen. Because there could be halachic basa b'cholov in the pot.
Yeah, but then the
tam kikker. And especially you don't know. Tam kikker is basa
b'cholov der rice. What? To the rice?
No. Tam kikker basa b'cholov is der rice. I mentioned that. Chavis Das says, despite the fact that on lomdis it's hard, the Chavis Das, the beginning of Pezayin, says that when you cook meat in a ben yoyma, you have milk. You cook meat in a milk pot, it becomes basa b'cholov der rice. Yeah, that's what he says. So at any rate,
it was a caterer, even 15 years ago, who was a caterer for Jewish, but in her place, they also did, because she owned the hall, that they were going also catering there, and she was the caterer there too, in Long Island.
So she had three sets of pot milk and flesh she can trave.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, it's more shy. Okay.
All right, it's only shy. All right, so we're going to get back. I'm going to come back to this case. This is of the three cases the most important. B'chein kli she'osim by mayim lechafifas araish ein l'shamish by. They used to make a keli, a junky keli, which they used for shampoo. What did they use for shampoo? They used to use ash based. They mixed ash with water, and what's it called in English? The name for such a keli. Today we can believe it's carcinogenic. We don't use it. But anyway, there were pots, junky pots made out of ash, and you should not use it. Why? Because it's made from the ash, shagabe kira, from the oven. Regilas ulasarv shabasa b'chol. There might be actual milk and meat mixed in. Now really, once it's ash, it's not meat and milk. But as a chumra, they wouldn't use it. They're considered aser. V'chein, the third chumra, toiv li zoyer, shloi l'shtamish min kedeirois, not to use the pot shel tanurei beis hachayref. Tanurei beis hachayref are the pot belly ovens that we use to warm up the house. Shemavashlum b'saychay. Now the old pot belly ovens, which again were boilers, a boiler to heat up the house, had compartments on the side where people could put in something and use the flame to heat things up. Sometimes it would spritz on it from pots that are cooked in the tanner, which could be basa b'chala. But if the das of the oven is made out of cheres, so it was absorbed milk and meat. It may have absorbed milk and meat, so you don't use it. But but this type of oven made out of metal is not a problem. Shemis labnin, because they're constantly self-kashering. Since it's so hot, it has libun, v'chalze, and the other reasons for chumris or mekalei hifsit. So let's go backwards through the three cases. The third case is to use the compartments in these pot-belly ovens that you can use it now to heat up water. But it may have been used for basa v'chalav. It may have spritz basa v'chalav on it.
I mean, you're not getting hand-drawn.
So it's a chumra baum.
One second.
It's a chumra baum. No. Whatever you're getting is less than a 60th. Wait. First, this case. Yeah. This case, v'chayshu should spritz basa v'chalav. The odds that there was, that there's basa v'chalav and that it's not batal b'shishim is not real. But from a spritz. But nevertheless, it's a chumra.
It's a chumra, but I'm saying, again, I'm jumping to the second case where you're using the kli, so you're getting hand off. So that I understand that if the kli had this. It's
other
wolves, you don't care.
Well, Freys can make your food trafe, that's why. Well, Freys can make your pots are gonna be trafe. They may have a shprit of basa v'chalav. The compartment may be trafe. Right, the kalim where you put them. Because it's self-kashering.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought the issue was just
using them. The was to be chayshish that these compartments where they put things in to stay out, might have been used for milk and meat. That's the entire
and
problem.
Then going to have a say of
and you're going to have trafis. It's going to make trafis.
So we're making it so complicated. If I'm putting it on the fire,
I'm not making it complicated. You're making it complicated.
If I'm putting it on the fire, correct? I'm putting it on the fire. I mean, even though it's not for me in those compartments, they're not in me, but there may be possible color from one of the guardian. And I, by putting on the fire for me, I'm getting a hanor.
That's the first case. This is not the most.
You're not having any hanor if you're using it as a pot belly oven to heat up your house. The house doesn't get any warmer because there's absorbed meat and milk in the oven.
Right. But
it doesn't warm up the house.
Is it cooking the compartment?
No, see, not really. It's not. It's just if you're going to put food there, it might be balaya. But when we said b'liyas of basar into chalav, a chalav into basar b'chalav, we don't mean b'liyas of basar b'chalav in the pot that's us as cooking basar b'chalav. We mean if you have real milk that has absorbed, that has taste of meat. Okay. Next to the last case, this came made out of ash where there may be residual basar b'chalav, which is also a chashash rachag. And the first case was the case where you have the community oven and by heating up the oven, you may be cooking basar b'chalav. Now, in that first case, has a Rabbi Kiv Hager with wide-ranging ramifications that are the subject of debate for halachas that take place in our homes today. But you have to follow very carefully the train of thought. There's something called the Darbar Sheder Miskaven. When you do something unintentionally, that's not a malach on Shabbos. Or it's not a malach on Basa V'Cholov. If a person does something without intent, that's not a malacha, unless it's a
Sikresha.
Unless it's definitely going to happen. So if you drag a bench, and you might make a charitz in the ground, you might make a hole in the ground, it's mutter because it's not your intention. If it's definitely going to dig up the ground, then you're not allowed to do it. Because when you do something without intent, and it's definitely going to happen, that's called Sikresha. Now, a bas b'chol too. No, Davar Sheder Miskaven is called Torah Kula. Malacha Shetzricha L'Guf is unique to Shabbos. Davar Sheder Miskaven is called Torah Kula. That's Malacha Shetzricha L'Guf. Davar Sheder Miskaven is not doing Malacha Shabbos. Davar Sheder Miskaven is even by Masechtas Machshirin. If a person goes like this with the Mishnah talks about somebody who has sesame seeds in his hands. He licks his finger and he's eating it like this. So the question is, when he makes it wet, is that Mukshal Kabbal Tumah? So Tav Shem Miskaven. So Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda argue. Tav Shem Miskaven is everywhere. It's not only, it's not only the Malach Shabbos. So, all right, but getting back, again, there's a rule, B'chal Torah Kula, by Uli Surim, that a Dover Shein Miskaven is permitted, unless it's definitely going to happen. Unless it's Segresha, it's certainly going to happen, then it's a problem. If it's not certainly going to happen, then it's permitted. That's a rule. Now, the question is, what does it mean it's not certainly going to happen? If you drag a bench, well, we know what it means. It may always, if it be a very heavy bench, it's certainly going to make a dig up the ground. If it's medium weight, it may or may not. That's not certainly going to happen. When a person stokes the fire in a community oven, is he cooking? He's not miskaven to cook the guy's food. He wants to. He's worried about his own food. He's putting it in his pot. He's stoking the flame. He's not miskaven to cook what's in the guy's pot. Dover shein miskaven. Why would it be aser? Because the psikresha is definitely going to cook it. But there's not definitely basa b'cholov there. There may not be basa b'cholov. So that's called definitely? So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, yes. Because the suffix is a suffix l'sha'avar. It's a suffix, it's not a suffix what will happen. It's a suffix what are the facts at the moment. If you open the lid of the pot, you look in, you may or may not be able to tell, but it's determinable. So the question is, Rabbi Kivaga says, by a psikrei, by a davashen miskaven where the suffix is in the past, isn't something that already took place that's undetermined? Is that called, Rabbi Kivaga holds it's aser, and he brings from the Taz that says it's mutter. Now there's no gaya every Friday night when I walk down East 21st Street. The last house before the corner house, he's got a light with a motion detector. Some weeks it's on and some weeks it's off. Even when I come in the morning, sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. I walk down the block. So when I'm walking down, I'm not miskaven to turn it on. If I know that it's going to go on, somehow I do it because it's a double shade of miskaven, it's a psigration. But I'm not sure in his house if this switches up or down. But that suffix is a suffix l'sha'avar. It's a suffix, something that happened already. Since it's a suffix l'sha'avar, it falls under the a realm of this discussion, of this Rabbi Kibager and Taz, whether it's permitted or not. I hope I'm being clear, because it gets much more complicated. It gets a lot more complicated.
A lot of times, it depends on where you exactly walk for that light.
No. When you walk down, when it's on, it always goes on. Right? We're talking in Brooklyn. The sidewalks are the width of the sidewalks is such, it's certainly going to go. You have no obstacle. No, we'll talk about it a different time. That's a different issue. I'll talk about it once, but it has a different consideration. But now, what happened recently is that there was a tumult as follows. When you open a refrigerator, besides any other shayla, there may be other shaylas, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the motor is off. When you open the refrigerator, you let hot air in. And you may cause it to go on. You may not. It may be 5 degrees above the trigger, below the trigger to go on. It may be a half a degree. When you open it, you may trigger it to go on. You're not mechaven to turn it on. It might be a psikresha. Maybe it's a half degree away. As soon as you open it, the fridge will go on. It could be it's 5 degrees away. And when you open it, it won't go on. That's the machlekes Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Taz. And on that, all the years we were mekel. And the machmirim, those who are mahadir, only open the refrigerator when the motor was running. So it's considered a hider mitzvah to open it only when it's running. And Ikaradin, we will make all to open a refrigerator even when the motor is off. Rav Palm told me that they should try to open it only when it's running. But if I have to open it, I should do it with a shinui. So I got in the habit most of the time to open it, but not by grabbing the handle, but by grabbing the door itself. That's what our pump told me to do, and that's what I've been doing. Now, the problem is the refrigerators became more efficient over the last 20 years. 20 years ago, it was running half the time, and it was off half the time. So if it wasn't running, you wait a few minutes, and it goes on. Now, they can stay off for 15, 20 minutes in a row. You know, you have a little bit of a Shabbos meal, and you want to drink. It's hard to wait that long. So what make will we open it? What changed? What changed is defrost mechanism. You'll remember our old freezers all iced up and had to be chipped away in order to get the ice off the walls. Today, they're automatically defrosted. How does it defrost? What happens to all the moisture? So the way it works, it's changing as we speak. There's a new change going on. But the way it works is there's a heating element on the coils. The coils is where the moisture builds up. They actually have a heating element there that goes on and evaporates the condensed water. So that it's run by a computer, not by a big computer, by a small computer chip, that every X number, it used to be every X number of hours, now it depends on how often you open it, the heating coil goes on, and it evaporates the moisture, and that way it never builds up as ice. That's the way it works. So, the machmirim, those who have the chumrah, said, 1 minute. Till now, it was a drabbanan. It was a question of turning on a motor, which is a drabbanan. And this is the machlokes Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Taz. So till now, we were mekel, the machmirim, and the mekilim were mekel. If you heard the motor on, you could open it. If you didn't hear the motor on, you can't open it. That has to do with the motor. But with the heating element, there are two problems. First of all, the heating element is glowing metal, which is deraisa. To make a metal glow hot is deraisa. First of all, shava deraisa. Second of all, you can't listen to it. The motor, you listen to the machine, to the fridge, you hear the motor is on, you open the door. The heating element, you can't see if the heating element is on or not. So it's a regular suffix situation. You don't know if by opening it, you're going to trigger it to go on. It's the machlokes Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Taz. That's the machlokes. So that is the reason in Eretz Yisrael today they only buy refrigerators with an Ishur, with a Hechsher, because they're machmir on this particular place. Refrigerator, because it's okay. I have to teach you something about freezers and refrigerators. In your house, your refrigerator does not have any motor. The motor is in the freezer, and there's a hole from the freezer to the refrigerator. Your refrigerator gets cold from the freezer. There's one mechanism that works for both. You could adjust them separately. The vent from one to the other can be is adjustable. But it's all one motor. And therefore, this became something of a tumah. Why are we mekel? Because the Mishnah Berurah is mekel even by deraisis, like the Taz. Mishnah Berurah says, the Ikra is like the Taz, he brings a raya from a Ramban who's talking by deraisis. The Shulchan Arav is mekel. Rav Henkin, that's something else. Ramesha is mekel, and not only that, Ramesha shows elsewhere in Yeridaya and the Tshuva nothing to do with the Shailah. That the only time Rabbi Akiva Eiger is machmir, the sheet of Rabbi Akiva Eiger is where it's determinable. It's possible to find out. Something that you can't find out, you have to take apart the refrigerator, that he considers not to be determinable. So these are, in long and short, it's true, if Henkin said, there's also part of the discussion. But my point is that here we have the Ramah bringing three chumris, that's Tovli Zohar, and from the Rabbi Akiva Eiger on this, we're arguing, 250 years after Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we're arguing about whether we can open our refrigerators based on Rabbi Akiva Eiger's chumrah of 250 years ago. That's the argument. That's the argument. Whether you can be medical. Okay. Rikivega holds that way. Ramesha holds that way. But, okay. So we're comfortable with it here. I remember I got a call about 5 or 6 years ago from Rebelsky's son in Eretz Yisrael, who said that it's all totally about the refrigerators in America. There's nothing going on. What's happening? He said, I spoke to my father. He said, don't worry about it. There are really multiple reasons. I'm just mentioning the reason that's here. There are multiple reasons that we're not machmir on this. Somebody wants to say machmir should be machmir. But I mean, those refrigerators that have a digital readout of the temperature are certainly not allowed to open. When you open it, it changes the digital readout. I want to tell you, Chaim Shanit is an appliance repair person.
What?
Chaim Shanit, the young fellow who's here, he does appliance repairs. He rather comes Mishmer 9 to 10. And he told me that's already, the heating element is the old new one. He said the new ones, instead of a heating element that glows to a glow, they have very small, thin wires that they don't glow at all. They're a bunch of thin wires that have a certain amount of heat and evaporates it. I said, how could it evaporate at a low temperature? He said, it doesn't know. But there's nothing glowing anymore. The new ones. Yeah, it's great. It's good. What? Like the car windows, right? The car window. How did they defrost without glowing? I don't know. Right, the car windows, absolutely.
What's the food that they make? The
what?
Panko,
yeah. You mean the new types of ovens, the ones that are they use electricity rather than heat? Okay. Anyway, so everything is newfangled and everything's changing. But anyway, let's know one more halacha. Ches cholav animtsa bekeva. You shecht an animal, and the animal had milk. So you'll find milk in the stomach. The keva is one of the four stomachs of the animal. L'chatchila osu levashul by basar. L'chatchila, you're not allowed to use that milk, after all it's milk, to cook meat with it. Afilu b'cholav hakorosh shabai. Even, now the keva is already congealed. Whatever the animal had is already changed. It's pirsha, but mishamarisayin, it's white, it looks like milk. B'dieved mutter, and b'dieved it doesn't have a din of milk. Afilu imbishul b'tzolul shabai, even if you removed not the congealed part, but the liquidy part, came pasim beis yaisif. Aval onu nayag, and we, the Ashkenazim anayag, that afilu b'dieved osur, that any milk found in the keva is osur b'dirabanan. Afilu imbishul b'kara shabai, even if you used the congealed pod, the congealed pod. Now it's very fascinating that this whole thing we don't see any of this stuff. We don't see animal stomachs. We don't see what's congealed in the stomach. The truth is, mostly we shecht animals. We starve them before we shecht them, so everything should be clean inside. Chickens too, and so this doesn't come up much. But in theory, I guess it could come up.